opening in your Old Testament to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to spend just a few minutes there this morning looking at some thoughts that I hope will encourage us, motivate us for this week. The book of Ecclesiastes gets its name from the very first verse, where it is described as the words of the preacher. And so the Hebrew title of the book roughly translates to the preacher. Ecclesiastes is the Greek equivalent, one who addresses an assembly. And the preacher identifies himself in that opening verse of the first chapter as the son of David. And while that can mean any descendant, I think we're probably safe in concluding that the author of this book is none other than Solomon, a man to whom God granted excessive wisdom and great responsibility going along with it. What we have in this book that we call Ecclesiastes is a collection of Solomon's observations on life, on his own life, his own experiences, and on life in general. And if we're honest, a lot of the book is kind of depressing, because Solomon observes that there are a lot of things in life that are, at least from our perspective, not fair. There are a lot of things in life that, from our perspective, seem empty and pointless. And indeed, Solomon says, when they are pursued as efforts to bring satisfaction in life, they ultimately disappoint. It's not that they are bad things necessarily, but they are not ultimately what life is all about. And Solomon talks about any number of facets of life in this book. He talks a little bit about friendship, about marriage, about work. Talks a great deal about work and providing for ourselves. Talks about the struggles that every human being experiences, the disappointments and frustrations that every human being experiences. Mixed in with that, there is also a great deal of talk about how vital it is that we acknowledge God above all things. And that brings me to the verse I'd like us to think about. It's actually at the conclusion of this book. It's in chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 13, this is what Solomon says. I'm going to read this as the King James Version renders it to start. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The last part of that verse, of verse 13, has always been a challenge for translators because the Hebrew there is a little bit difficult. It's not that the words are all that hard to understand, but the sense of them is open to some interpretation. Two words in particular. The word that is translated in many of our versions, whole, and the word that is translated, man. They're simple enough words. The Hebrew word kol, translated whole, or sometimes in the sense of all or every. And the Hebrew word adam. Adam in the book of Genesis is named for that word. It is the word for man, not man as opposed to woman, but man in the sense generally of being a human being. But that word can also be used either individually of a person or collectively of mankind as a whole. And the question is, exactly which sense does each of these words need to take in this particular verse? Not surprisingly, our Bible versions differ slightly in rendering the sense of the phrase. And a brief thought about how they render it leads me to a couple of observations about the need to fear God and keep His commandments. So I want to look really at just three basic points rooted in the different ways that our modern English Bible translations render verse 13. I'd just like you to think about with me for just a few minutes. The whole duty of man is what Solomon talks about. And first, I would have you to think that what Solomon describes here is a purpose for the whole of mankind. To fear God and to keep His commandments is a purpose for the whole of mankind. In some of our translations, that's how it's expressed. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. That's the rendering in the margin of the English Standard Version. And by the way, that word duty that you find in many of our translations is actually kind of interpolated. It's not actually in the Hebrew text, which adds a little bit to the variations of translation there. The duty of all mankind. The American Standard Version in its margin, this is the duty of all men. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, this is for all humanity. And the New American Standard Bible that I usually read from, this applies to every person. The way these translations understand Solomon's words in verse 13 understands him to be saying that to fear God and keep His commandments is a duty that every single human being has. That every person has the responsibility to acknowledge God and to do His will. To fear Him and to keep His commandments. Those are concepts we talked about just a little bit in our Bible class this morning. And we talked about how inextricable they are, how conjoined they are to fear God and to do what God says. And here is Solomon saying, quite possibly, that's everybody's responsibility. Well, that's teaching that's reflected in plenty of other places in the Scripture. We are told that every person will answer to God for either embracing this responsibility to fear Him and keep His commandments or rejecting it. In fact, if we just look at the very next verse, we find that. This is the conclusion when all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God, verse 14, will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Solomon says we will all answer to God for the choices we make, whether we choose to fear Him and keep His commandments or whether we choose not to. And by the way, that word that is translated all or every actually occurs four times in these two verses. The conclusion when everything or all has been heard is this: fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to all. For God will bring every or all acts to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And the repetition of that word is no accident. It reminds us that every one of us, by virtue of our being made in the image of God, owes God the duty, the responsibility of worship, of reverence, of fear, of obedience. That's not just an Old Testament concept. If we put our bookmark there in Ecclesiastes 12 and turn to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 17, we find the Apostle Paul speaking to a collection of philosophers in the city of Athens. These are men who knew nothing of the Hebrew Scriptures, but what does Paul say to them after appealing to some of the evidence of God in nature and the recognition of God's sovereignty and provision, even among pagan writers? He says this in Acts 17 and verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. So here's Paul underscoring exactly what we saw Solomon say, that the responsibility to God belongs to everyone. And Paul's gospel was that God is calling everyone to repent because He's going to bring everyone to judgment. And as proof of that, Paul cites the resurrection of Jesus, the one through whom we will be judged. The New Testament underscores this when it reminds us that God's plan of salvation is open to everyone. When 1 John 2 and verse 2 tells us that Jesus died for the whole world. Or when 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 tells us that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That means, my friend, that no matter who you are, you need to serve God. By dint of your being a human being, no matter who you are, your Father wants your love and He loves you. It is why He created you, to be in fellowship with Him. It's your whole purpose. And that brings me to a second thought. Considering a second way that our English translations render Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, understanding it to say that to fear God and keep His commandments is man's whole purpose, not just for mankind generally, but for each and every one of us. The majority of our English translations read something like this: fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The King James, the American Standard, the Revised Standard, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and several others. Perhaps even better is the New King James rendering, for this is man's all. To fear God and keep His commandments then sums up what life is all about. It answers the question, why are we here? It expresses our very reason for existing. And that again is what Ecclesiastes is all about. Why are we here? Where is it that we can find real meaning and purpose and satisfaction in life? Solomon's answer to that question is you find it in fearing God and keeping His commandments, because everything else ultimately is going to disappoint if that's where you're looking to get real value in life from. On the other hand, everything else makes sense and is valuable if we appreciate it as a gift from God. You were made in God's image to have fellowship with Him. No matter what else you may accomplish in life, if you are not serving the Lord, then you have missed out on the main thing. That's what Jesus echoes in a passage like Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, talking particularly about our emphasis on obtaining material wealth and the status that goes with it, he says this, Mark 8 verse 36, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus reinforces the idea that your soul, your immortal essence, is the most important thing you have. Your relationship to God is the most important consideration in life. And if it is not, if you miss out on that, and if you miss out on the fellowship with God, not only in this life, but for eternity, that God most desires for you, then really, you have missed the whole point of living. No matter what else you're able to accomplish, no matter how much fun you have, no matter how much wealth or wisdom you acquire, no matter how much status you gain, you have blown it. You have missed it. To fear God and keep His commandments, that's man's whole purpose. If we don't grasp that, then our lives will be spent wandering aimlessly in search of meaning, and we will always come up empty. And that leads me to a final consideration. That to fear God and keep His commandments is a purpose that makes man whole. None of our translations really render it that way, and I certainly don't think this is the precise meaning of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. However, it is clearly one of the messages of the book itself. Wise, powerful, wealthy Solomon tried everything under the sun to find happiness and fulfillment. Especially read the first two or three chapters and you find that. And he found that apart from a relationship with God, all of that was pointless. He describes it as being like trying to grab hold of the wind. Vanity of vanities, he keeps repeating over and over. Emptiness of emptiness. Unless a man serves God then, unless a woman serves God, unless a person serves God, that person is less than what they were meant to be. They're not whole. Something's missing. And that missing element makes all the difference in life. One writer wrote, "The secret to wholeness is to fear God and keep His commandments. It is to discover the secret of being a whole person." Who doesn't want that? The desire to be whole, not broken, fragmented, erratic, going off in all directions at once, We want to be stable, controlled, balanced, whole people. Here is the secret of it. That's from Ray Stedman's book, Is This All There Is to Life? Or as apologist C.S. Lewis put it, the human machine was made to run on God Himself. Or as another writer put it, every human heart has a hole in it, and that hole is shaped like God. All of those are just different ways of trying to express the idea that unless we have a relationship with God, in fact, unless fearing God and keeping His commandments is what our life is devoted to, we will never be complete. There will always be something missing. The New Testament confirms that as well, speaking often of the idea of perfection, or really better translated, completion, that if you want to be all there, essentially, you've got to be a follower of God. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was in chapter 3 and verse 19, that they be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's what fills life. That's what fills that hole in the human heart. Without God, every pursuit ultimately comes up empty. Apart from serving God, you, my friend, are less than what you were meant to be. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The New Revised Standard Version says that is the whole duty of everyone. And I guess I especially like Moffat's translation of this verse. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that is everything for every man. The question is it everything for you? Or do you find yourself walking around with a hole in your heart, emptiness in your life? You know something is missing. That something is right here in Ecclesiastes 12. And in so many other places in Scripture, it is to be in fellowship with God. And to do that, as we read in Acts chapter 17, we need to repent and place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His sinless life as the price for our redemption, so that we who have sinned against God can still have fellowship with Him, not just now, not just for life, but for eternity. We want that for you. If you would, go ahead and take our songbooks out. Turn to the number that Jesse announces our invitation song. And the reason we are going to sing that song is to try and encourage you, if you've been walking around empty, to fill up that emptiness with God. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Then we're asking you to act on that belief this morning by repenting, confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll walk out the doors of this assembly a whole person. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in the sense of being flawless. Doesn't mean you're not still going to have struggles and weaknesses and challenges to overcome, but your life will be different. And more importantly, your life will now be what God intended it to be. Given over to fearing Him and keeping His commandments. We want that for you. If you're ready to lay hold of that offer, we hope you'll make it known by stepping forward as we stand and sing together.